A lot of us have pets, and with so many people working from home at least part of the time over the last year and a half or so, we've been seeing more of our animal friends than we would otherwise. In some cases, we're doing a better job noticing when something seems wrong with them. That's good. Problem is that animal hospitals and veterinarians are swamped in many cases, and they're often having a hard time keeping up. Plus, many places are short-staffed, and there's a lot of turnover. For pet owners, that means longer wait times for appointments. The pandemic has also caused other disruptions, like not being able to go inside with your animals. Some people have gotten angry. One veterinarian near Los Angeles told The Guardian that an irate client threw a milkshake at the front window. Our next guest says veterinarians and their staffs are doing their best and has some advice for pet owners to make things go more smoothly. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What has been your experience dealing with veterinary care during the pandemic? Do you feel like help is there when you need it? How hard has it been tending to your pet's medical needs? If you work at a vet clinic or animal hospital, what's the past year and a half been like for you? What do you want pet owners to understand the most? What questions do you have? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Joelle Carson is the executive director for the Wisconsin Veterinary Medical Association. Joelle, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob. I'm happy to be here.
We read in some national publications that vets and their staff have been under a lot of stress during the pandemic for a variety of reasons. Big picture, is that something you've been seeing from your colleagues around the state?
That's definitely something that we've been seeing and hearing quite frequently since the pandemic hit. And like everybody, everybody's feeling different types of stresses, and those come out in different types of ways. For our practices here in the state of Wisconsin, we right away were essential workers, but only for urgent care pets. So what happened was it created this backlog of preventative care, the rabies shots that needed to happen, the Lyme and tick disease shots that needed to happen. All of those got put on hold and urgent care was seen. So as we've, and then of course we had curbside and we had sanitizing and all of these different things that we've become accustomed to in our grocery stores, our restaurants, and everywhere that we go, it's created this break in the supply chain. Except I think it's just not as obvious to see. I think as people go into the grocery store and they don't see hand sanitizer there, they say, oh, it's breaking the supply chain. But we don't always recognize that in our service industries.
How much have you caught up with that backlog in the pet care, the veterinary industry? Or are we still there?
We're still there. We're still playing catch up, and we're playing catch up quite a bit. It's really interesting. Our American Veterinary Medical Association dug into the numbers more to look at what we've been hearing that, oh, there's so many pets being adopted and there's a shortage of veterinarians and there's an increase in vet visits. What was interesting to find out is that pet adoptions are actually down. They're the lowest that they've been in 5 years. And we've seen an increase in service appointments, but what's happening is those appointments are taking longer because you used to go in and talk to your veterinarian while they were visiting with your pet, while they were checking your pet. Now they're checking your pet and then they're coming out to talk with you. So what we've seen is the pandemic has brought this huge decrease in how efficient we can be in our clinics, which has made the backlog increase. I think as restrictions have lifted in different areas, we're working to catch up, but we're definitely not there yet.
And we see many, many lines of work saying they have staffing problems, trouble filling all available positions. Is that something you've encountered in the veterinary world?
Definitely. It's definitely something that we're seeing. And people will often look at statistics of how many veterinarians we have, but it's also our support staff. It's our technicians, the people who greet you at the door. And we're seeing those shortages too, which is certainly exacerbating the problem. And then I think that in general, the veterinary profession attracts very kind-hearted, empathetic people who want to give of their time. They desperately want to help these animals and the clients and people that are attached to them that love them. And so they're putting in more hours. They're trying to find more creative ways because nobody wants to have to put up a pet in need.
We're talking to Joelle Carson, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Veterinary Medical Association, looking at challenges facing veterinary clinics and their staff, animal hospitals, and pet owners as they try to get care for their pets. You can join in if you have an experience to share at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Michael is with us in Kaukauna. Michael, hi.
We had very good experience during the pandemic. We had two dogs that had to be put down because of age and illness. And one was just before the lockdown of the pandemic, and we were allowed to be with our poor Bert, through his last heartbeat. And then when Henry had to go was after the restrictions had lightened up. So I'm not fortunate they're gone, but fortunate we were able to be with them so they weren't afraid. And a lot of people do not like the idea of being with their dog to the last moment, but I felt that we owed that to them. And even during the pandemic, when we had to take the dog, Henry and the second one, they were very accommodating. We couldn't go in for the examination, but they were very good and very professional. And I appreciate our local clinic and what they did for us. And thanks for this time. I appreciate it.
Michael, thank you so much for calling. I'm sorry for the loss of your dogs, but I'm glad the experience went as well as it could in a tough time. Joelle, that issue of, the pet owner not being able to be in the room with the pet, whether it's getting treatment or, as our caller was talking about, when it's being put down, that's got to be hard for everybody involved, right?
It is very hard for everybody involved. I think most of our clinic was based on clinic decision. But what Michael just described is what happened in most of our clinics.
I'm going to jump in. Your connection is breaking up for us a little bit, Joelle. So I think we're going to have a producer talk to you and maybe switch to our phone. In the meantime, we are talking to Joelle Carson, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Veterinary Medical Association. A lot of reports in the state and around the country of backlogs during the pandemic as people seek veterinary care. A lot of extra stress for veterinarians and clinic staff as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you work as a veterinarian or a staff member at an animal clinic, we would love to hear from you and how things are going for you. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And if you have an experience as a companion to a pet, what has the experience been like for you when you've needed to seek veterinary care? We're going to continue the conversation, hear from some more of you coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about veterinary care during the pandemic. Animal hospitals and clinics around the country are dealing with lower staffing levels in many cases, higher demand for appointments, a lot of overtime in some cases, angry or emotional pet owners. Joelle Carson is with us, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Veterinary Medical Association. You can join in with your stories on either side of this, whether you work in animal care or you're a pet owner who's needed that over this last year and a half or so. What has the experience been like for you? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Joelle, before we lost your connection, we were talking about the difficulties when that pet owner can't go into the room while the treatment is being provided. Tell us how tough that's been.
That's been really tough. It's tough for our veterinarians. It's tough for our animals. It's tough for the people who love them. And it's nobody's dream. That's for sure. But it's a clinic by clinic and area by county area decision. And most of our clinics, when it got to an end of life type of situation, they found a way to allow that client to be with that pet. I can't say 100% of the time that it happened, but our veterinarians really understand that importance for both the pet and for the client. So it's been tough, and we're all excited and looking forward to having that face-to-face in-person contact where we can.
Thanks again to Michael for calling in and sharing his experience at 800-642-1234. Let's go now to Dana with us in Madison. Dana, hello.
Hi there. I'm a veterinarian in the Madison area working in emergency and specialty hospitals in our area. And I've been doing veterinary medicine for about 25 years. And it's never been like it's been the last couple of years with the pandemic. The stress level amongst our staff is very high because we really are you know, every single shift is full tilt and over hours, and we can't see the number of patients for the demand. And we've just had to make one of our hospitals go from 24-hour to urgent care because we don't have enough staff to take care of the pets in the demand that we have. And so we're really trying to prioritize patient care. I would encourage all owners also to really take a look at an organization called Not One More Veterinarian, which has a lot of information about the risk of suicide in our veterinary community. The Madison area has had lost several individuals in the last couple of years within our veterinary field to suicide. And I think it's really important to extend a lot of empathy and care to the people that are really trying to manage the best we can in this situation.
Dana, thank you so much for sharing your story. Best to you and your staff. And I hope you find some light at the end of the tunnel soon. And Joelle, that brings up something I was going to mention. These numbers are pre-pandemic concerns about suicide in the veterinary profession, the high stress. What do we know about that?
Well, let me back up real quick on something that Dana said that I think is important. She's talking about the stress that's being seen in our emergency and referral clinics, which I think is very important, because what has happened that's really exacerbated this is that with some of the backlogs that our clinics are trying to get through and see, sometimes what it happens is if somebody can't get into their local veterinarian on the day that they want, they're going to the emergency care hospitals. And a lot of times they're going there with non-urgent types of matters, which is then overwhelming our emergency care hospitals for our true emergencies. And it's tough. I mean, I have a dog that has crazy allergies, and when she gets to itching, I hate to see her like that, and I want to resolve it right in that moment. And there's times where that may be something I want to resolve right away, and my veterinarian can give me advice over the phone versus me taking them into an emergency clinic at that moment. So I think if we as the general public can help be cognizant of that and schedule our appointments in advance for the things we know that are coming up, the rabies, the flea and tick, those types of things, I think it'll help us get evened out and help alleviate some of that stress that's going around for all of us to share.
And then to that longer-term problem of stress for veterinarians and concerns about suicide risk, is that something you've been watching yourself, Joelle?
That's something that we're watching very, very closely and have been for years. It's something that our national association is looking at, our association is looking at. From a profession standpoint, it's something that we have to be cognizant about. Veterinarians have some of those risk factors. We're not necessarily the highest profession where suicide occurs, but we have some of those risk factors: high financial debt, lack of work-life balance, increased stress and overload of work hours. So how can we help? We're looking at, as a profession, how can we help offload some of those things from veterinarians so they don't feel as though that's an option?
Thanks again for that call, Dana, and bringing up a lot of big issues, actually, at 800-642-1234. Let's go now to Laura with us in Northwestern Wisconsin. Laura, hi.
Hello. I tuned into the conversation late, but I heard a fellow talking about being unable to be with his animal at the time of euthanasia, and I want to tell you that we had a vet actually came out to our vehicle to administer the shot, explained exactly what was going to happen. It was quite peaceful, and it was a great relief to see how peaceful it was. Of course, broke our hearts, but not allowing the animal owners to be there at the last minute, I don't think is a necessary thing.
Sure. Laura, thanks for the call. And Michael's conclusion was he actually was, because of the timing, able to be there with his animals. But point well taken. Laura, sorry for the loss of your dog. Glad, though, it went well. And again, as you were saying when you heard from Michael, Joelle, veterinarians are trying to find a way, especially for that circumstance, the end of a pet's life, trying to find a way to make it so the owner can be there if they want to be.
Absolutely. Our veterinarians want people to be with their pets. They know that it's the best possible scenario for that pet in that moment. And it's the best possible scenario for the person as well. Nobody wants to take any of that away from them. And I have heard those types of creative solutions. And I'm so happy for Laura and for Michael that they were able to be there. That's just a meaningful moment, and it's wonderful. I'm so sorry for their loss, but I've heard those types of stories, and it just makes me so proud of all of the people that I work with, because they're trying to make those things happen in some really tough circumstances under the pandemic and restrictions.
Thanks a lot for sharing that story at 800-642-1234. Joelle Carson is with us, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Veterinary Medical Association, looking at the challenges faced by veterinarians and their staff at clinics and emergency animal hospitals. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a question for our guest or an experience to share, if you work in that line yourself, or if you've had trouble or success in getting care for your pet over the last 16, 17 months or so. 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Joelle, you mentioned for your pet's allergy problems, you could do maybe a call with a veterinarian. I know it's harder with pets to do telemedicine than it is with humans in a lot of ways, but are there times when it is an option?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up. We are actually working with our veterinary examining board right now to pass telehealth rules on and guidance, because right now there isn't any in the state of Wisconsin on how and when veterinarians can use telehealth medicine. So we're actually right in the process of figuring that out. I shouldn't say figuring that out, moving it forward.
Sure.
We need this innovation. We need this technology. But at the end of the day, we have to protect the animal and what's best for the animal, because they can't talk. They can't tell us that this hurts or the reason I'm panting is because I itch. So we're trying to make sure that we have the appropriate care. And when you call your veterinarian and you have that relationship and they have seen your pet and hands-on touched your pet and know that animal, they are the ones who can give you that guidance. So that first call should always be to your primary veterinarian to give you that advice. And sometimes it's hard to wait a day or 2 days to get in, but we're just trying to ask people to have patience on those preventative care pieces. If you know that your rabies vaccination for your dog is coming up in November, schedule it now. Pick up the phone and schedule it now, instead of waiting until you get your third reminder and say, oh, I should go in December and do it. Get out there in advance and make those appointments early.
Now, when somebody does have to bring their pet in for something more urgent than that, or they've scheduled ahead that that routine rabies shot or whatever it might be, do you have advice for the patients, or I guess the owners of the patients, on how to make the experience go as smoothly as possible?
I think it really depends on your animal. Like for me, I have a very reactive animal. She becomes so nervous and upset when she goes into a veterinary office. I love curbside. She does so much better if the veterinarian comes and takes her and brings her inside. So for me, I have her ready. I have her with her harness on. I have her with her leash ready to go. I have all of my questions prepared for my veterinarian before she goes into that clinic. And then I have those ways to talk to her on the back end. The support staff is really, really good in giving that information and helping you prepare if you have a cat that gets nervous and how you bring them in the carrier. But having your questions ready, because sometimes the technicians and the support staff can help answer some of those questions and then really save the medical ones that you need for the veterinarian when you're in the appointment.
How about not the pet behavior here, but the client, the pet owner's behavior? It's been an emotional time over the last year and a half in a lot of circumstances, and people really care about their pets, and it's understandable. Do you have things you'd want to say to the pet owners as they go into the veterinary clinic to dial it down and realize that the workers there are under a lot of stress too?
Yes, it's been a stressful time for everyone, and I know I've seen it in the grocery store. I hear about it on the news about fights happening on the planes because people's emotions are running so high during this pandemic. You add your best furry friend to that mix and scared and concerned over that friend, and your emotions just took an extra hit higher, and some people don't check those at the door. We want them to be emotional. We want them to care about their pets, but know that we do too, and every veterinarian there is working as hard as they can to help. So we hear you. We're trying. the more that you can work with us, the more that we can work with you, and know that your pet really connects with you. And so when you're anxious, they become anxious. When you're yelling, it makes them more anxious, and it's going to make everything go much harder. So if you can't kind of keep that in check for yourself or for the person that you're talking to, keep it in check for the pet that you're bringing in with you.
Before I let you go, I'm curious about the veterinarians and technicians of the future. How has this all impacted training for those would-be veterinarians and veterinary technicians? Is this getting in the way of getting them ready for their careers?
Last year was tough. I mean, it was tough for everyone. And we have an incredible veterinarian school. I mean, really, our School of Veterinary Medicine is top-notch, not only in the nation, but in the world. And they were very creative, as were many other schools around the nation. And so for those opportunities, they found ways to get them the training that they needed. And the veterinarians are educators by nature. And I love that about the veterinarians in our profession, is that they will take that time with those new grads that are coming in. They will show them anything that they're concerned that they missed, and they will make absolutely 100% sure that they are ready to work with any animal before they work with an animal. So there's probably some nerves around some of our new grads that went through that pandemic year of not having the year that they wanted to have. But I feel very confident in our experienced veterinarians and our new ones coming out that they will make sure that the necessary training either happened or it's happening in clinic at that moment.
Joelle, thanks again for joining us today.
Well, we appreciate you bringing this conversation to light. Thanks for having me.
Sure. That's Joelle Carson, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Veterinary Medical Association. We talked to her today about an added stress on animal hospitals and veterinarians during the pandemic and how we can help make the situation better for everyone, including our pets.